Fisk University in Nashville is one of the most storied institutions in the country. It was founded just after the Civil War to educate freed slaves. It graduated prominent black leaders of the Harlem Renaissance and the Civil Rights era. But as it wraps up its 150th year, Fisk is still grappling with a dilemma as old as the school itself: how to become financially sustainable. WPLN's Emily Siner has the story.
Fisk's legacy has a lot to do with music, like this recording of the Fisk Jubilee Singers in 1909. And that musical legacy is intertwined with money. Just 5 years after the school was founded, Congress decided that it would not renew funding for colleges that educated African Americans after the Civil War. History professor Revis Mitchell says it was a desperate time.
When the school reached the point of less than a dollar left in the treasury, when there was no hope, a student chorus was put together in the fall of 1871.
That student chorus became the Fisk Jubilee Singers. And on October 6th, 1871, 9 African-American students set out on their first northern tour.
They would present themselves, some the children of slaves, a few enslaved themselves, and the world was astonished by these young people from this place called Fisk.
Their tours became legendary. They performed at the White House for President Grant and in England for Queen Victoria. She famously instructed her court painter to create a portrait of the singers, which still hangs at Fisk today. And the tour worked. The singers raised enough money to save the school. Fisk bought the land at Sadon and built one of the campus's oldest buildings, Jubilee Hall. It's a point of pride even today. At Fisk's 150th anniversary convocation this year, speaker after speaker invoked the original 9 Jubilee Singers, thanking them for their dedication. The modern-day singers feel it too. Here's Leonte Savala, a tenor who graduated this spring.
It's a feeling you can't describe. Just to be a Fisk Jubilee Singer and understand, like, wow, this is a powerful, powerful load that I'm carrying.
But as the legacy of the singers lives on, so does the financial burden they were trying to relieve. Most recently, Fisk had an extended legal battle over whether it could sell famous paintings donated by Georgia O'Keeffe. And even after the case was settled, finances at the school had gotten bad enough to be put on probation for a couple of years by its accrediting agency. That's not to say it's always been shaky. Mary Beth Gassman at the Penn Center for Minority-Serving Institutions wrote her dissertation on what she describes as Fisk's golden years, the 1940s and 50s under University President Charles Johnson.
And that's really the last time that Fisk had, like, real financial success. They were at the helm of HBCUs and were incredibly well-respected as a small liberal arts institution.
These days, many historically black colleges and universities have tight budgets, in part because of their mission. They enroll more low-income and first-generation students. To thrive, Gassman says, HBCUs need a few things. They need stable leadership. Fisk has been cycling through presidents lately. They also need to buckle down on fundraising. For Fisk, she says, this really means spelling out why it has such a vital role today, not just in the past.
HBCU history and legacy is very important, but you can't fall back on that. So no one's going to give to Fisk merely because of the Jubilee Singers or Jubilee Hall. They want to see what Fisk is doing now.
That's the real push, right? Is sort of making Nashville, or making, for that matter, the country aware of what all is happening at Fisk.
Jens Fredriksen is the person in charge of fundraising at Fisk. He went to Vanderbilt but taught here before joining the administration and calls himself an adopted Fiskite. He says the school should be known for academics. Fisk produces more African Americans with master's degrees in physics, for example, than any other school. And Fredriksen says the university wants to move away from the reputation of being strapped for cash.
I think for a long time we were probably mired down in a few familiar narratives that sort of usurped all the press, and I think that may have sort of covered over the extraordinary, exciting things that are happening.
They're also getting more aggressive about fundraising. They're trying to increase the percentage of alumni who donate from a quarter to a half. They're also reaching outside the school more, making the case to people or companies who are not related to Fisk. Unlike 150 years ago, the Jubilee Singers are not official fundraisers anymore, but they are ambassadors for the university, singing around the country or at high-profile events like the massive Nashville New Year's Eve celebration. In other words, Fisk still depends on the Jubilee Singers, but the fortunes of the school no longer rest on their voices. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Emily Simon.